The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Former Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal is joining us. He has written a piece recently called, well, essentially, How the GOP Can Win on Healthcare. Thank you so much for being on the program. It's good to have you on.
Larry, thank you for having me back. I always enjoy talking to you and to your listeners.
Well, I remember when we met years ago when you were at the Reagan Library at one of the debates, and I have actually a photo of you up on my Twitter page. At LA News Guy, so folks can see us there being interviewed. But it's an interesting subject when you write about healthcare and the GOP. There's so much noise and issues going on from impeachment to what's going on overseas, the Middle East. Important stuff, I get it, but this is one of those topics that we're always told people care about. It affects you. If you go to the doctor and something's not covered, or you walk into the emergency room and you have to pick up 30% of it, I mean, you can be walking home with a $2,000 bill just for going in from a cut that you got. I mean, there are things that hit people in the pocketbook, and healthcare is one of those, isn't it?
Larry, you're exactly right. And, you know, the reality is survey after survey show that people are worried about their healthcare. And I think the Republicans have an opportunity, but if they miss this opportunity, you're going to see much more radical solutions like Medicare for All, the expansion of Medicaid, that they're building on Obamacare. All of those are things that I oppose, the Republican Party opposes, but, you know, you can't just be against everything. It's also important to have solutions. And I think Americans are willing and they want free market, conservative-based solutions, but if they don't get those, at some point they're going to get frustrated and maybe they'll start listening to the Elizabeth Warrens or the Bernie Sanders of the world. And that's why I've written in my piece in the Wall Street Journal, I said, you know, there are three things that Republicans could do today. These are things that have bipartisan support that could actually get them done in 2020 despite impeachment, despite the Middle East, despite all the distractions. These are things they could get done today, all three of which would lower the cost of healthcare for Americans, all three of which would help, I think, help folks every single day. You know, most surveys show most Americans like their health plans. They don't want Elizabeth Warren to take them away, but they are worried about rising costs. Something like 40% of adult Americans, those that aren't yet in Medicare, 40% are now having high deductibles. And that means for the first time, they're paying those big bills for their hospital visits, for their drugs, for their doctor visits. And so I think they're very interested in bringing down the cost of health care.
Yeah, and they're facing those high deductibles because when they go to look at the plans out there, even if the ones left over from Obamacare, you know, unless you're willing to pay more up front and you don't have the money, you have to assume the risk. And we saw it with the kids who were younger and weren't going to get sick. They were smart enough to figure, well, I'm not going to pay a high price for that. It was banked on that they would pay in. People are looking for something that's affordable and going to cover stuff. They're worried about that. They're worried about losing their houses over this because, you know, going bankrupt. What do you tell them? What are the three steps that we could do right now?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right in diagnosing the problem. And this is one of those things where President Obama talked about bending the cost curve down, but he didn't really do that. And too many folks, you know, trying to escape those exchange premiums, trying to lower their employer-provided health care premiums, are, like you said, facing higher deductibles and more cost sharing. So three things. The first problem, a lot of people, I'm sure your listeners, many people face what's called surprise billing. So about a third of all Americans are going to face this over a two-year period. What this means is you go to the hospital, it's covered in your network, so you feel like your insurance is going to pay for it. You come home, and then all of a sudden you get a big bill. Maybe it's from the anesthesiologist, maybe it's from the air ambulance that took you there, maybe it's from the ER doctor. Turns out that those providers weren't in your network. So the hospital was in the network. You assumed that everybody was covered. All of a sudden, you find out after the case, you get a bill for tens of thousands or thousands of dollars, and that doesn't strike many people as fair. I mean, you play by the rules. You went to an in-network hospital. You shouldn't be facing these surprise bills. And look, you really can't negotiate at the time. When you're sick, when you're going to that hospital, you don't have time to read the fine print or negotiate to figure out what is and what isn't covered. The good news is there are bipartisan bills in both the House and the Senate right now that would say that's not right. If you go to an in-network hospital and you have out-of-network providers, that they would be paid a negotiated amount from your insurance company, and they would not be allowed to bill you separately or above and beyond that. Now, if there's a dispute between the insurance company and the doctor or the provider, it would go to arbitration. And some of the states have already started passing these laws. The problem is that a lot of us get our insurance through our employers, and they're not covered by those state laws. So this is a bill. There's bipartisan support. Democrats and Republicans both like this. The idea is end surprise billing.
Right,
this can get done today.
And I like the idea of the arbitration, but here we are in California where they just passed a bill, a slap in the face on arbitration agreements. Anything going forward is supposed to not have it. Now, a judge is kind of putting that on temporary hold, but you know they're not always thinking smart here in California, are they?
Well, no, they're not. And the problem is you don't want to tilt it too far either way. If you don't have the arbitration, the real fear is insurance companies won't pay doctors a fair amount. You won't have enough doctors willing to work in those hospitals, and you have access issues. And if you go too far the other way, then healthcare gets too expensive. That's why I like this balanced approach. That's why there's a starting payment, but then there's arbitration. If either side feels like they're not getting treated fairly, at least there's an opportunity to go and before an independent arbitrator. The second opportunity here. So it turns out that in America, we pay a lot more for our prescription drugs than other countries. Something like HHS did a study, something like almost twice what other developed countries. So I'm not talking about poor countries. If you compare America to European countries, to Japan, to Canada, to other developed countries, we're paying 180%, almost twice what other countries are paying.
So why is that? What does the industry say is the reason they're charging so much?
Well, you know, what really is happening is these other countries aren't paying their fair share for the R&D cost. It costs well over $1 billion to develop a new cure. You may have seen, you know, today's news, great news, cancer death rates have fallen by a significant amount. They've been falling since the 90s.
Yeah.
Huge drop this year in America. Well, it's great we get these life-saving drugs. Somebody's got to pay for them. Other countries, they've got government-run health care. They're not paying their fair share. You know, Trump, with his America First agenda, has gone to these other countries and said to NATO, you've got to pay your fair share for defense. America won't pay your burden. He's gone to other countries like France and said, you can't tax American tech companies. We're going to stand up. We're going to put tariffs on French wine and French products if you unfairly tax American tech companies.
We need to do the same thing.
Same thing.
But we also have other issues. I talk to the experts who say we in California, they have this thing called innovator liability. You make a drug, you're done with it, you sell it off to the generics, but the original maker of the drug can be sued even if you've taken the generic. I mean, companies, where's the innovation going to be if we're going to allow the suing to bleed dry these drug companies?
No, look, you're right. Nancy Pelosi's got her approach, unfortunately, is much more heavy-handed. When it comes to drug prices, she's got a bill in the House. The independent experts have come out and said if this bill were to become law, if the government were to step in and just tell the manufacturers what they can and can't do, you would have fewer life-saving, fewer drugs being created and developed. That's not good for patients. And so you're exactly right. You don't want to punish innovation. You don't want to create disincentives for people that are out there and investing dollars and hours coming up with those miracle cures, because it could be your loved one, it could be your child, your parent, it could be your spouse who needs that new drug that's in research today that's being developed tomorrow. So you're exactly right. So again, just like with surprise billing, you've got to have balance. You want to lower the cost, and the way to do that, get other countries to pay their fair share, but you don't want to do it in a way that kills innovation. And that's the problem with the Democrats, the top-down approach. You let Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren come in and just have the government dictate what's going to happen. You have less choice, less innovation, lower quality health care, and that's not the solution.
Yeah. Number three?
Number three is transparency in pricing. You know, here's the crazy thing. When you go to the hospital, when you go to get your prescription filled at the local pharmacy, you have so little information about what it's going to cost. You have more information if you try to buy an airline ticket, if you try to buy a car, if you try to buy almost anything else in your life. The administration, to their credit, the Trump administration, HHS, to their credit, has tried to post online prices for hospitals, for prescription drugs. They've tried to pass some executive orders or some bills in Congress, especially in the Senate. Senator Scott's got a bill that would provide transparency on drug pricing. The industry is fighting this, but studies have shown when you do this, not only do prices come down, but there's less variation. What's happening today is that your friend may be paying one price for a procedure, you may be paying twice, and you don't even know it. And like you said, you come back from the hospital and you get these outrageous bills. You had no idea when you went in what it was going to cost. There have been studies in Oklahoma, even in California and other places, showing when you've got transparency, competition happens, prices go down. It's just basic common sense. You know, the way markets work is you've got to empower consumers. So they've got a couple of executive orders. Unfortunately, industry's tied them up in court, so it may take legislative action. But the idea is give consumers, give patients information ahead of time so they can make informed decisions.
Well, I've seen apps. Some of the healthcare companies have come out with apps that let you compare the cost of childbirth in this city to that, or from hospital to this, or a procedure. And that's great. But, you know, it really has to be across the board. There has to be this competition. But there's also other aspects. There needs to be quality of the service. It's not just price when you go to the doctor. You don't want the lowest hip replacement. You want a good one, right?
Now, look, there, you're exactly, and you pointed out something very important. We have to have good quality data, and different states have tried different metrics on this. And to their credit, you know, the federal government's done this with health plans. So when you, for example, when you choose a Medicare Advantage plan, you can go see how many stars that plan gets, and you can pick a higher rated plan, and you'll see their advertisements. You know, if they get, you know, if they're highly rated, they'll tell you that. You know, if they don't tell you, that probably means they're not getting a lot of stars. So you can tell that as well. So you're exactly right. I think you have to have better information. CalPERS tried something here where they combined reference pricing with price transparency, where they said, all right, this is what we think certain procedures should cost, this is what we're going to pay, and this is what different providers, you know, charge for those procedures. If you have good quality data, then the patient can make an informed choice. We'll both say, hey, I'm willing to pay a little bit extra out of pocket for convenience or because I think this doctor is better quality, or they can say, you know, I want to save some money. I actually think that there's a person on this list that's below the reference price. I'm going to go there instead. So you're right. You've got to have price and quality transparency. And again, the states, like so often is the case, are leading the way, not the federal government. And in many cases, they posted quality data on nursing homes, on hospitals, and other providers online.
Sure.
But it's got to be as easy. You know, I talked about buying a car. When you go make major, you know, purchases, you can go online pretty quickly
yep.
and figure out
you can Google,
quality
you can,
ratings and cost ratings.
Exactly. You got to bring that to healthcare, and it's so important. It's just when you see the Democrats get up there and they say, oh, the big bad healthcare companies, they want to get a phrase that gets people angry rather than really solving the problem. And when we talk about Medicare for all, the system won't work. And Elizabeth Warren never has been honest about the taxes she'd have to collect. You see her clam up when everybody says, okay, so who are you going to tax to pay for this? Then she kind of moves around. I mean, these candidates, you got to realize, they aren't talking how to pay for it. They're just throwing out slogans, hoping you hate healthcare so much currently that you'll vote for them. I mean, this stuff is researched. It's planned. They're trying to get your vote without really solving a problem. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Always so good to hear from you, Governor Bobby Jindal. Let's have you back on a more regular basis. I think it's been almost a half a year, if not longer, since we talked, but you always have so much insight to add. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. And look, I think you're exactly right about Senator Warner and Medicare for All. And that's why I say if we focus on reducing costs, we can prevent these bad solutions that really I don't think are what Americans want, but I worry they'll turn to those if they don't have a better alternative.
Solve it. That's right. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you for having me.